on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial portfolio manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back for our Wednesday, August 20th, 2025 edition of Invest Talk. I'm your host, Luke Guerrero, and I am ready to take you on yet another journey through what is probably the most important job we have, helping to make you a better and more informed investor. How do we do that? We bring you the stories that matter, and you bring us the questions that are relevant. We take your questions 24/7 on our Anytime Listener line, 24/7 over there in the comment section of our YouTube channel. You can email us, and hopefully you make the great decision to talk to me live sometime throughout this show over there on 888-99-CHART. Now, before we get to those educational and actionable items that I have for you today, before we get to the market update, this is about you and your question, so let's tackle this caller question now.
Hi there, this is Zach calling from Michigan, giving a call about Southern Company, ticker SO. I currently hold the stock and have for quite some time, and I've done well on it. And I'm just wondering if it's something that you think I should continue to hold for the long term and add to. And if it is something I should continue to add to, does this give me enough diversification as far as the utility sector, or is there other things I should be looking at in that sector as well? Thank you so much. Bye.
Ticker is SO and the company is Southern Company. Southern Company is a major U.S. utility holding company headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. About 9 million customers across six states, operating in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and a handful of other places. Earnings, not bad at all. Reported on July 31st, Q2 net income was 98 cents, down a bit from a year ago, but not too much. Adjusted earnings also lower, though they did see a 7.9% rise in revenue. Year to date, the stock is up 15.32%, up 4.51% over the past 3 months, and in that time, also outperforming its industry at 2.9%, outperforming by 2.9%. From a valuation perspective, a bit expensive, though you do see that broadly in some of the utility space right now. Utility's doing pretty well, just in general, over the past 52 weeks. Forward-looking price earnings, 21.1 times at the high end of that five-year range, the five-year high being 22.1, price to book at 3 times. Now, a lot of utilities tend to have a bit of debt. This is a $103 billion market cap company. They have about $66 to $70 billion in debt, depending on what time frame you're looking at. It looks like most recent quarter, about $70 billion in debt. Their interest coverage ratio, 1.98 times. But this leverage is to be expected in the utility space. And much like other utilities, they also pay a decent dividend, sitting at about 3.1% this year. I would say the average, though, over the past couple of years was closer to about 3.7, 3.8. The lower end right now being because of that massive price appreciation year to date, again, 15.32%. And so what's driving this utility and what's driving utilities in general? One of them is, as interest rates came down a bit, though not much, in the past year, really the end of last year, you saw people reaching for yield in other ways. Another thing that is dragging utilities upward is the demand for energy from data centers, AI-related CapEx spending. And so this company that gets about 73% from its traditional electrical operations has done pretty well in the southern area where there have been a lot of energy-related projects, that is. Now, you know, what to really look for here, they have upcoming new projects, particularly in Georgia. Hopefully, they seek to increase that dividend yield as revenue did a bit better this year. Their margins also expanding up to 16.7%. Now, you mentioned, you know, do you want to get more diversification within the utility space? And I think that's fine to an extent, but you have to understand that utilities in general are a very small portion of the U.S. market that have been driving outsized returns this year, right? If we just look at the S&P 500, utilities are going to be, oh, this isn't going to do anything for us. Let's go over to SPY here, take a look at the ETF, because sometimes they don't like to give you the index data. But if you take a look at the S&P 500 here, and you scroll all the way down to our sector breakdown here, utilities, really not even listed for how little it makes up there. And so I wouldn't give too much to utilities. Your main focus from utilities, the main reason why you invest in them, is going to be because of the income, not really because of the growth. Really an uncharacteristic year that we've seen over the past year. So if you wanted to diversify out, you have good exposure, you're up a bit, and you want to get more outside of the income types of investments, I think it's perfectly fine to start to diversify elsewhere. That is Southern Company. Ticker S-O. Alrighty, got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so, and here's a little bit of what we have planned. My main focus point concerns this topic, new student loan repayment policies following Trump's budget bill. Recent changes to student loan repayment rules include adjustments to monthly payments, loan forgiveness eligibility, and borrowing limits that will impact current and future borrowers. Also, we'll touch on how AI has certainly been a good theme for growth in the market, but there's also a lot of hackers out there who are benefiting and stealing billions of dollars. So we'll dive into that. Really a warning there. We'll also touch on numbers from US retailers and how they are pretty split on the maintained power of the consumer and how that might play out within the holiday. Should we have time at the end of the show, we'll touch on the ever-waging, ever-burning trade war, and how other countries are responding, and other countries are getting closer. We also have some voice bank questions ready to play, including one on financial ratios, and another on A.O. Smith Corp., that's ticker AOS, as well as some questions that came into the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions now, or anytime throughout the show. Going into a quick break, please remember you can call anytime and leave your questions on the InvestTalk voice bank. If you are listening via our live stream or possibly on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, call now, 888-99-CHART. A new YouTube series, and then comment on today's market activity.
Okay, got to get serious with my finances. I've been working a long time, and I know there's still got to be more that I can do to build my wealth quicker. I don't want to have to work forever.
If you are not maximizing your employer-sponsored retirement plan, KPP Financial can help. With our professional oversight, you can potentially enhance your investment performance by an average of 3% annually. At KPP Financial, we provide a comprehensive 401k management program designed to optimize your retirement savings. Our approach includes creating custom investment allocations tailored to your goals and risk tolerance. That can make a big difference in your favor.
Maybe it's time to tune up my retirement plan.
For more information on how you can take control of your retirement savings, visit our website, kppfinancial.com.
KPP Financial. Sounds good.
Hiring shouldn't be a hassle, nor a drain on your budget, right? Okay, then maybe you should look into Upwork. Upwork is a one-stop shop to find, hire, and pay top freelance talent. Upwork can save you time and help keep costs in check. The truth is, scaling your business requires the right expertise at the right time. With Upwork, you can find specialized freelancers in marketing, development, design, and more. Experts who are ready to help you take your business to the next level. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. There's no cost to join, so you can register and then browse freelancer profiles. Plus, you can get help drafting a job post and even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that understand you. Upwork makes the entire process easier, simpler, and more affordable with industry-low fees. So, post a job today and hire tomorrow with Upwork. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's upwork.com. Upwork.com.
2025 rolls on, and you've got finance and investment questions for Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Well, I have your attention. I have you captive. Let me tell you about a new series debuting on our InvestTalk YouTube channel, InvestTalk Innovators. Justin and I will be bringing you insightful interviews with company leaders, founders, and visionaries. For our first episode, I spoke with Haren Bhakta, the mind behind Inside Ownership. In that interview, he highlights how his philosophy of investing in founder-led businesses can offer a real advantage and passes on some practical tips that you don't want to miss. To watch our full interview, visit our InvestTalk YouTube channel today and stay tuned for more conversations with more InvestTalk innovators. Alrighty, let's talk a little bit about the market today. A overall bad day, down day. It's not necessarily bad, depending on what side you were on. But the Dow was pretty flat, up 4 basis points. S&P 500 down 24. NASDAQ down 67. Russell 2000 down 32. Finished a bit off of session highs, though the S&P did post its fourth straight decline. And some of the worst performers, the Mag 7 and AI names, weaker again, weighing on the growth and high beta factors, while retail favorites, also notable underperformers. Investment banks, PE, building materials, airlines, department stores, all underperforming the broader market, while staples, healthcare, outsourcing, consulting, software, insurance, and money center banks, some of the best performers on the day. The bond side treasuries were a bit firmer across the curve, yields down about 1 basis point, while the dollar index was down 10 basis points and gold finished up 90, and crude oil, who we all know has been having a very rough year, up 1.9% on the day. It is hard to ignore big tech's pullback, that in focus yet again. Worries about valuations, worries about an AI bubble, worries about AI competition concerns. Some of the go-to excuses for the activity we've seen the past couple days. But we've done this before. We've seen this before. And so some people are hopeful that, as happened in the past couple months, that should you continue to see a prolonged downturn, well, it's likely to be, in fact, short-lived, giving the long-standing resilience of the buy-the-dip retail buyers. Now, is that going to happen? Who knows? But that is still some of the optimism out there for the bull case. On the data side, retail earnings, the other big story for today, some mixed and largely, I would say, company-specific takeaways. Though there is a broader theme, right? Consumer resilience, and it still seems to be apparent in the data. Over there, the Fed July FOMC minutes leaned a bit hawkish, but impact really muted given the shift we've seen in labor market sentiment following that July non-farm payroll number. And the big news coming out of the Fed is going to, of course, be on Friday, right? Fed Chair Jerome Powell is going to be in Jackson Hole and giving a speech that continues to loom large over the market with a lot of debate about whether he'll be slightly more dovish, whether it'll be as hawkish as the minutes were, and some uncertainty, you know, about what is priced in at this point. Very quiet otherwise from a headline perspective, though, no economic data. Looking ahead to Thursday, which is tomorrow, claims flash manufacturing and service PMIs for August, as well as July existing home sales will be out tomorrow. And like I mentioned, big, big, big story on Friday will be what Jerome Powell says in Jackson Hole. Alrighty, every day now, it seems like we're getting more and more questions over there on the InvestTalk YouTube. And we do love those questions because we do love our viewers as well as our listeners. And if you're over there on our YouTube and you got a question, well, you just leave it over in the comment section. We'll get to those as quickly as we can. This one coming in from Nicholas Collins, 4260, and it's on ticker BDT. It says, "Hi, with this recent drop in bird construction, I'm wondering what you think is a good time to buy. Thanks. I will be listening on the podcast." Well, Bird Construction is not a company that focuses on birds. It is a company that focuses on construction. It serves clients in the industrial, mining, institutional, retail, commercial, and multi-tenant residential space, building things. It's had a rough year, about 10% down about 9% over the past 3 months. And it is not a U.S. company. It is headquartered in a city that I would butcher, so I'm not even going to try it, but it is in Ontario, Canada. Now, their Q3 2025 earnings did look pretty okay. I'm sorry, Q2 earnings did look okay. But I think a lot of the struggles that you've seen, you know, even though you did have this negative 2.1% surprise to the downside on earnings and a bit of a miss on revenue, what you're seeing is a delayed tariff effect here, right? Some rising trade tensions between the U.S. and Canada, where this company is, and what that might mean for revenue and profits down the road. Take a look at their debt as well, right? Because you have seen this revenue, although it is slowing, it is still climbing. Well, from a debt perspective, not much debt on their balance sheet, only about 213 million Canadian dollars on a 1.2 billion market cap company. But margins are really low, right? Margins are very small in this industry broadly. And so when you have the potential to have rising costs, companies such as this can't really manage it as well because those margins are tight to begin with. And that's why over the past 5 years, well, it's sitting at about its average in spite of what has the price falling over the past 6 months, 6, 7 months, sitting about near its average. So overall, I think it's got a lot of issues thematically. Not really a big positive trend on the chart as well over the past couple months. So I'd still wait to see what the market has in store before I'd consider entering Bird Construction Inc., ticker BDT. We are moving into a break, and still to come, my main focus point, more answers to your questions, and more stories. I encourage you to give me a call now, 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about the new InvestTalk store? That's right, you'll find great merch for the savvy investor. It's all there for you now at InvestTalkStore.com. Luke Guerrero is here now, taking your finance and investment questions live. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
We spent a lot of time on this program talking about the investment side of things, but one important aspect for many people's lives is their debt burden. 42.5 million Americans hold federal student loans. 12.3 million of those, about 29% of them, are on IDR plans, which will be restructured under the president's signature legislation that passed earlier this year. And so it's important to know that these recent changes to student loan repayment rules include adjustments to monthly payments, loan forgiveness eligibility, and borrowing limits, and that will impact you. New standard repayment plans will begin July 1st, 2026, replacing the 10-year fixed schedule with tiered payments based on loan size. A new modified repayment plan, let's say, called the Repayment Assistance Plan, or RAP, also starts on July 1st, 2026, requiring minimum $10 a month income-based payments and a 30-year repayment with interest waived if unpaid. New borrowers after July 1st, 2026 will only have two options, right? The new standard plan or RAP. No extended, no graduated, no legacy IDR plans. Current borrowers, however, can stay in their existing plans until July 1st, 2028. When most old repayment options, the income contingent repayment or ICR, pay as you earn or PAYE, or the save plan, as well as extended and graduated, are eliminated. After July 1st, 2028, all legacy borrowers must switch to one of these two plans. Parent Plus loans issued after July 1st, 2026 will lose the flexibility as well. No IDR, no PSLF, only the new standard plan with balance-based terms. Existing Parent Plus borrowers, well, they must consolidate by June 30th, 2026 in order to keep access to the IDR. Otherwise, they'll be locked into the standard plan. Federal consolidation loans will still exist, but with limited value, since consolidating after July 1st causes tax borrowers, or rather causes borrowers, to lose legacy repayment options. Income contingent plans, well, those are going to be phased out, but deadlines for enrollment are still unclear, as the Department of Education will publish more guidance in the weeks and months to come. Obviously, all of this can be very confusing. All of this can be very complex. And so, given that, you as a listener who may or may not have student debt, understand that the deadlines are pretty far out, a year out, several years out in some cases. It is critical to not only handle your investments, but handle the debts you have as well. Understand your options, seek the advice you need, be prepared given the deadlines to come. Alrighty, let's drop in another listener question now.
Hi, I want to thank first of all to Justin and Luke for the amazing show and all the information you guys are providing. Thank you so much again. What I want to know is, in terms of long-term investment, what kind of financial ratios do you guys or do one should typically look into to understand the company and to decide if this company is a go, no-go kind of a thing? Again, thank you for so much of your information, and I keep hearing the show every day. Thank you guys again. Bye.
All righty. So what are some important financial ratios to look at? There's a lot, right? When you're analyzing a business, there is no one-size-fits-all thing that just tells you, well, this is a good company, this is not a good company. There are so many things to look at. When you're talking about looking at liquidity, current ratio, quick ratio, cash ratio, this is all telling you how much liquid cash or investments a company has relative to what its liabilities are. There's leverage ratios, your debt to equity, all sorts of leverage ratios that can tell you, okay, how do they capitalize this business? Does this company have more debt than other companies in its industry? There's profitability ratios. That's what margins are, your net margin, your EBITDA margin, your operating profit margin relative to your book value of your assets. Then you have your valuation multiples, your forward-looking price to earnings, price to book. You have your efficiency ratios, your asset turnover, your inventory turnover. It becomes incredibly complex and incredibly difficult. And some of these ratios mean more for some companies than they do for others. Inventory turnover is going to mean a lot more for a retail company than it is going to mean for a utility company. And so that's to say, it is difficult when analyzing these companies to just say that there is one size fits all. You have to have a holistic approach. And it's not just about how the company is doing, because most of the return of a stock is going to be how the market returns. After that, a lot of it's going to be how the sector returns. So little is dependent upon what the individual company does. And so when you're looking for these companies to invest in, you have to get the top stuff done first. What is your macro worldview? How does your theme, the theme over which you're investing, how is it informed by that macro worldview? Only then can you start to dive into some of those critical ratios, profitability, cash, leverage, to help you select appropriate companies for your strategy and your risk profile. For tomorrow, we have put together a compilation show, a Best of Caller Questions podcast. Look for that to be posted over on investtalk.com and other platforms. And remember, the InvestTalk downloads, they don't cost you. They are free. Now, as we head into this break, don't forget our phone lines never close. So even if you don't want to talk to me live now, and I won't be offended if you don't, though I would love to talk to somebody, you can call anytime and leave a voicemail on the InvestTalk Anytime listener line. It's the same number, 888-99-CHART.
No matter what our day looks like, I think we can agree that we all need nourishment that fuels us, right? So let me tell you about Kachava's Whole Body Meal Shakes. I'm really liking them. And bonus surprise, the Kachava Shakes come in 5 delicious flavors. Chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai. Variety is a good thing. And it's easy to incorporate Kachava's Whole Body Meal Shakes into my daily routine. I like to personalize my Kachava by adding nice touches like frozen blueberries, almond milk, creatine. For me, the idea is to mix it up while keeping my body and mind nourished all day. In fact, Kachava is a whole body meal with plant-based protein that actually tastes delicious. In those five indulgent flavors I mentioned, you get 25 grams of 100% plant-based protein with every two scoops of cachava. You get 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Cachava is non-GMO. There are no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. There's no soy, no animal products, no gluten, and no preservatives. You can even try Cachava risk-free with their Love It guarantee. Fuel your day with Cachava. Go to cachava.com and use code INVEST for 15% off your next order. That's Cachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code INVEST for 15% off. There are some things you don't need to splurge on, but a high-quality mattress isn't one of them. Think about it. You sleep on your mattress every night for years, and the value of good quality sleep impacts your daily routine, so it should never be taken for granted. Avocado Green Mattress is made with superior craftsmanship, better materials, and thoughtful design, so Avocado stays supportive and comfortable for the long haul. And you'll be glad to know that Avocado is committed to maintaining the highest standards of ethical and transparent practices. That means eco-conscious production using renewable, certified organic materials. In fact, every Avocado mattress is made from certified organic latex, wool, and cotton. Breathable, non-toxic materials that keep you cooler than synthetic alternatives throughout the night. In case you were wondering, Avocado Green Mattress is a bestseller that comes in three different comfort options: firm, medium, or plush. To make your purchase more accessible, there are easy financing options with Affirm. Plus, you can take advantage of up to 1 year sleep trials and generous warranties. To try before you buy, visit one of the Avocado retail stores or premier retail partners to experience the comfort in person. When you want unmatched comfort and support, exceptional quality, and better sleep, look into Avocado Green Mattress. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today and save up to 20% on certified organic mattresses during their Labor Day sale. Avocado, dream of better.
InvestTalk. Your questions are free. The answers are unbiased. Luke Guerrero is here now. 888-99-CHART.
This is Dan from Walnut Creek. And I had a question on a stock, A.O. Smith Corporation, Flexible AOS. I purchased a small lot in November of last year. I was wondering what you think about the future of the stock. Any information would be validly accepted. Thanks very much. Bye.
A.O. Smith Corporation, ticker AOS, is a world leader in water technology. They manufacture residential and commercial gas, electric, heating, and water units. And year to date, they're up about 5.34%, but in spite of that, over the past year, down about 11%. From a valuation perspective, sitting at about their average, though slightly below in terms of forward-looking price to earnings. So about 17.8 times forward-looking price earnings, price to book a bit elevated, 5.7 times. That is their exact average over the past 5 years. Now, they have had decent earnings and guidance. They reported adjusted EPS of 1.07 on July 24th. That did exceed the expectations. But if you take a look at the revenue, one of the reasons why they've done so poorly over the past year is because growth has really slowed to the point where from 23 to 24, revenue actually went down. And net income went down as well from $557 million down to $534 million as margins stayed about the same, though compressed a little bit. Now, with that being said, right, the industry itself was down by a bit more year to date. They're outperforming their industry still by about 50 basis points. Apologies, the industry is positive, as is the stock year to date. Little misread there. But either way, I think you have kind of a cyclical issue here. Q3 earnings was good, but you see a bit of a change in housing starts. One thing that is perhaps going to inform maybe where the stock goes is something I saw the other day, which is that It is cheaper to buy a new house right now than an existing home. There could be many reasons why. Could be because the cost required to get somebody out of their low mortgage is more expensive than what you can construct a home for right now. But either way, it is likely that the largest contributor to home sales could be from new homes. And if that's the case, well, then a company like A. O. Smith stands really to benefit greatly. That could be one of the reasons why they've had pretty solid earnings the past couple quarters. Things starting to turn around a little bit. Revenue starting to peak up yet again. Either way, it's in a bit of a pullback. Taking a look at its chart, I mean, it's trying to break this downtrend it's had since October. Started on a bit of an uptrend since June. It's sitting at about where it has been over the past 5 years. Wouldn't say it's too expensive or too cheap, but a lot of risk here, given where it predominantly generates its revenue from. But keep in mind, should housing starts and construction start to pick up or continue at the levels they are, well, this name stands to benefit. That is A.O. Smith, ticker A-O-S. All right, let's get to two in a row and switch back to the comment section over there on our InvestTalk YouTube channel. And this is on ticker W-U-L-F, which is Tara Wolf. It says, hey guys, Steve from San Francisco. What are your thoughts on Wolf, an AI data crypto company? Just struck a deal with Google. Looks like a lot of tailwind for the next 5 years. Well, it has been a rough couple days in the AI space, given what some people are trying to interpret as a rotation out of an area that has had a lot of CapEx spending. Do I believe that necessarily? Maybe, maybe not. I need to see some longer term trends. But you know who has done pretty well? Wolf, Tara Wolf, up 5.69% just today, up 63.96% year to date, up 136.74% over the past year. But most of that, a lot of that, really after that announcement of that Google partnership. It is a company that, surprise, surprise, does not make money. Early stage company here, even with its massive appreciation. It's at about $5 billion or $4 billion just a year ago, was half that. Revenue, though, picking up quite a bit as well. What do they do? They own and operate fully integrated, environmentally clean Bitcoin mining facilities in the United States. And so the price of this is probably going to be pretty tied to the price of Bitcoin. I don't know. I feel as though if you're trying to get some exposure to crypto, there are probably cleaner, less risky ways to do it. This is essentially going to be a highly levered bet on Bitcoin. Interestingly enough, it also has a decent tie-in towards nuclear, hydro, and solar energy, because that is what they're producing. And so, you know, I think there are, say, cleaner, ironically. I think there are better ways to get exposure here with a lot less risk, regardless, in spite of the massive price swing year to date. That is Tara Wolf, ticker W-U-L-F. Alrighty. Keeping with the theme of AI, keeping with the theme of technology, let's talk a little bit about some risks, right? Because there has been a lot of focus on some of the benefits of AI towards industry, towards our everyday lives. But cybersecurity researchers are seeing something that is worrisome. In fact, some recently showed that ChatGPT could be jailbroken to help them write and debug malware in just 6 hours, highlighting a new risk that maybe hasn't been on the forefront. Generative AI has lowered the barriers for hackers, allowing them to operate at scale without the teams of costly infrastructure that they have needed historically. They now power LLMs, power phishing, spear phishing, social engineering attacks, enable fake emails, deep fakes, and even cloned voices or video calls. There are criminal tools out there that are not expensive, some for as little as $150 a month, and that's giving hackers cheap access to AI-driven fraud capabilities. Malware itself, because of this, is becoming far more adaptive. AI-powered code can request new instructions mid-attack to bypass security systems, as seen in July's Ukraine cyber attacks. Companies have been looking at this as well. IBM found that AI played a role in 1 in 6 data breaches and 2 in 5 phishing scams this year. Deloitte projects that AI-enabled fraud could reach $40 billion by 2027. That is up $12 billion from 2023. That is a significant increase in a very short time span. Cybersecurity spending, therefore, is understandably set to surge by 25% from 2024 to 2026, reaching $240 billion, which could potentially drive sector outperformance in markets. It's also driving a lot of M&A. Palo Alto Networks, SentinelOne, other firms are on an acquisition spree, spending billions and billions of dollars to shore up their business models. And so while competition is strengthening defenses, we have to be cautious about the rush to build ever more powerful AI models, because it means security risks may lag behind innovation, or rather may lead innovation. And what does that do? It keeps lots of businesses struggling to keep up. Certainly, AI has a lot of benefits. Certainly, these models can help productivity, but you also have to understand the risks of the technologies being created. Alrighty, let's get back to the InvestTalk voice bank and answer this caller question now.
Reaching out to you in regards to FactSet Research Systems. That's ticker symbol F like Frank, D like dog, F. I hold this stock. I have a position in it. I want to know what you thought about this stock. Once again, that's FactSet Research Systems, ticker symbol FDS. Thank you and have a great day.
Taking a look at FactSet Research Systems, that is FDS, and if you are viewing over on our YouTube, that is exactly what I am using right now to take a look at all these companies, analyze news, look at earnings. It is one of the primary tools that I use on a daily basis. Now, it's up 3.62% today, but unfortunately still down 20% over the past year. From a revenue perspective, sales have been a bit, or have ticked up a bit, though growth has slowed pretty significantly, right? You had about 8.9% growth over the past 5-6 years on an annualized basis, yet still grown from $2.2 billion to $2.3 billion this year. And in the same time, margins have expanded. They hit a high during the pandemic, about 25.1, then dipped down all the way to 21.5 net margin. Projected to be about 28.3 this year. It is a leading provider of financial data. They have pretty strong cash flow as well. Free cash flow sitting about $657 million right now. Net operating cash flow sitting about $747 million right now. And its market cap really isn't that big, right? Only $14 billion market cap company. And so there are certainly some risks here, right? It's trading well below its average. I think one of the biggest risks is threat of new entrants here. I would contend that the industry is so used to certain types, or rather certain UI interfaces, or UIs, user interfaces, certain tools, such that inertia is an incredibly powerful thing. But progress in generative AI, in large language models, and aggregation of data has certainly got investors worried that, okay, it is now easier and easier to make technologies that scrape the internet, that get all this data. What value does FactSet really have? And that is really what I think has led to poor performance year to date. It's all about the bottom line, right? You can have revenue grow, but if earnings are missing consensus, not necessarily a good thing. Now, FactSet is a company that we do hold for our clients. We think that FactSet is and has been a leader within financial data. And from what we've seen in terms of their AI integration, certainly planning for a future. And so for me, I use it. I like it. FactSet Research Systems, ticker FDS. All right, let's keep things going. Here comes a question from Massachusetts on 888-99-CHART.
This is Fred giving you a call out of Massachusetts. Wanted to get your opinion on a stock that I bought a few months ago, and it's Casella Waste Systems, ticker CWST. Not sure what to do with this thing. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right, let's pull up Casella Waste Systems. It is headquartered in the beautiful state of Vermont. It's had a rough year, down about 4.45% year-to-date, down 12.99% over the past 3 months. And what it does? Well, exactly what it sounds like it does. It engages in the provision of solid waste management services operating in the eastern, western, mid-Atlantic regions. Most of its revenue coming from its western region, about 38% of this revenue comes from there. But overall, I think from its business segments, pretty well spread out, well diversified. Going back to 2019, relative strength looking pretty darn good in my opinion. But, you know, over the past 3 months, in spite of a Q2 earnings beat, in spite of strong free cash flow growth, you've had a bit of underperformance here. And it's underperformed the industry by about 17.9%. A lot of what they've done has been revenue expansion, not from internalized growth, but through M&A, through price increases. And what that's done is it's seen the stock pull back from a high of about, I'd say about 120 down to about 101 where it sits today. And that's pushed its valuations down to a expensive yet more reasonable level. 18.5 times price to cash flow, 4.1 times price to book, 3.7 times price to sales, 77.1 times forward-looking price to earnings. Their free cash flow is robust. There is no doubt about it. $6 billion company, it's only got $1 billion in debt, and it has been a strong performer for a very, very, very long time. Performed really well during the pandemic. Performed really well 2019. Only underperformed the S&P 500 with the exception of this year in 2023. But I don't know. This is an example of one of those businesses where I always like to say that sometimes the unsexy businesses are some of the best ones to invest in. But at the same time, 77.1 times forward-looking earnings, 18.5 times price to cash flow, a little bit expensive. So for now, I'm hesitant to want to enter a new position in Casella Waste Systems. That is ticker CWST. Alrighty, unless you have done so already, I want to encourage you to head over to the InvestTalk store at investtalkstore.com, where you can check out our hats, our mugs, our shirts, our polo shirts like the one I'm wearing today, all sorts of products where you can rep the InvestTalk family. This for us is one of the biggest parts of our lives. We do this each and every day, 5 days a week for the most part, except for tomorrow where we're running a replay. And so I don't just wear this on the show. I wear my InvestTalk bucket hat outside. If that sounds interesting to you, or maybe you have a loved one who has a birthday coming up, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and check out what we've got. And if you want something different, you know, shoot us an email. We are very flexible and always willing to support the family. This is InvestTalk. I'm Lou Greer. We have one goal here, and that's to help you achieve your financial freedom. Our work continues after this break, so get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I'm calling today about Expedia, ticker symbol EXPE. I've held it for less than a year. I'm wondering what you think about the company in this environment right now. Thank you very much. Bye.
Taking a look at Expedia Group. Expedia Group is an online travel company. They are probably more familiar to you as Expedia. I think they own, what else do they own? I'm blanking. Trivago, the Trivago segment as well. I think Hotels.com might be Expedia. But essentially, it's for travel. It's for vacations. It's for bookings. From a relative performance perspective, been pretty okay, I would guess. Or I would say, rather, over the past couple months. Over the past year, certainly up 52, 54% over the past 52 weeks. But didn't really have much of a strong recovery coming out of the pandemic where the names didn't do too well. From a debt perspective, it's got a bit of debt, about $6 billion in debt on an $80 billion market cap company. But earnings look solid. They raised guidance. They beat on earnings. Revenue looks good. From a technical perspective, right now, they look pretty decent. Been on a solid uptrend since April. Huge price climb since the end of July. But you also have to remember where we were a year ago, right? People were thinking, okay, recession is imminent. Spending is going to come down. And so when they beat, when people, consumers end up spending more than would have been thought through their technologies, Travelocity, Vrbo, Hotels.com, Orbitz, all well-known brands, well, then the company is going to do well. 68% of its revenue comes from business to consumer. But the risk here is, okay, it's had a big run. Again, up 26% over the past 3 months. It is still raising guidance. In spite of that, prices could be climbing. Inflation could be ticking up. We're seeing retailers already say the same. And so will spenders, consumers, pare back? Pare back spending on travel. That's my hesitancy for this particular name. But it's not that expensive. 13.1 times forward-looking earnings, 9.9 times price to cash flow, 2 times sales. This is a tough one because it is a name that has had solid performance, past performance, and is trading at a reasonable price. But you can't not be cautious given the potential risks of rising prices, of rising costs, and what that would mean for travel. That is Expedia Group, ticker EXPE. Talked a little bit about it, but we're getting some mixed forecasts here from various retailers. Target and Home Depot raising doubts about the strength of the 2025 holiday shopping season. Those two names being two of the ones that are giving conflicting forecasts, right? U.S. import tariffs under President Trump and subdued consumer spending are starting to pressure retailers and raising inflation concerns yet again. Target executives said they are planning cautiously due to uncertainty and volatility in consumer demand. Consumer sentiment is weakened. Shoppers expect slower growth and higher inflation ahead. Two things that you typically don't want to come together. Brands are shifting strategies. Adidas plans higher U.S. prices. Levi Strauss will cut promotions. Under Armour is weighing broad price hikes. An economist note, though, the consumers are still spending, but are a bit more selective, with companies walking back earlier promises to avoid those price hikes. While the S&P 500 is up 8% year-to-date, consumer discretionary stocks have only returned plus 1%, reflecting the market expectation of continued consumer deterioration. TJX, TJ Maxx reported a strong second half start benefiting from those value-oriented shoppers. Another sign that people are trying to save wherever they can. As the holiday season approaches, you cannot ignore the earnings, the guidance, the forward-looking forecasts of these companies, the ones that are on the front lines of retail spending. And certainly that information should help you decide how you want to allocate your portfolios. I'm Luke Guerrero, and this completes another Invest Talk program. Justin and I thank you for joining yet again. And I want to mention that if today's show made you think about your own financial picture, your investments, your taxes, your retirement, am I saving enough for my kid for college? Any of these many questions, we would love to speak with you. At KPP Financial, we offer no-cost portfolio reviews to people just like you each and every day. Just head over to investtalk.com and click on the portfolio review button. And also tell your friends and family about this show, which is available on YouTube, iTunes, and Spotify. I want to remind you once again, tomorrow will be a Best of Caller Questions episode. And we'll be back with you on Friday for another live show. Can't wait to see you till then. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. a registered investment advisor firm, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.